the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you can remember a time when, probably in our youth, when you did or were doing something that deep down you knew was probably not the right thing to be doing, but you went and did it anyway. You came up with excuses for it, why it was okay. You rationalized it. Your friends encouraged you to do it. It would be okay. It wouldn't be that bad a thing. But then you were found out, and you were called before the adult tribunal. And suddenly it dawned on you that what you had done was not such a light and trivial thing after all. It had very serious consequences and ramifications that in our youthful mind we had not, processed fully. And suddenly we're struck with the weight of what we've done and the realization that we're in deep trouble. It'll be something like this when Christ comes again in His glory. When He came the first time, He came without His glory. He left His glory behind. He came in total humility and self-abnegation. But when He comes again, that second coming, we call it the second glorious coming. He comes in glory. He reveals fully His divinity, His deified flesh, but His divinity, that glory that the disciples caught a glimpse of on the Mount of Transfiguration. And as the Scripture said today, we will gather the nations before Him. He will sit on the throne of His glory and separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. But when He comes and that glory is revealed, that glory, that light will penetrate us and reveal what's in our hearts, what kind of people we truly are. In society, we generally hide behind all sorts of facades and personas that we create for ourselves and project. Some people are very intentional and very conscious of doing this, projecting an image, sending a message, making a statement, whatever that statement is conceived to be, which never has any intelligent content usually, but trying to project something to other people to impress them or to be able to use them or whatever. And so we deal with each other in our fear and in our weakness and in our sinfulness. We hide behind these masks, these personas that veil from others and often from ourselves who we really are and what we've really done. Much like the youthful mischief makers, getting carried away with the enthusiasm for the great experiment in the backyard that blows up and burns down the shed or something. We are deluded and don't see their full consequences and the full nature of our condition. But when Christ comes in His glory, that glory will penetrate us and reveal what's truly in our hearts. And what's astounding on that day is we stand before Him, as Elder Zacharias mentioned yesterday, there will be some who, even at that point, will dare to argue with God. They will try to justify themselves. We still haven't learned from Adam and Eve, have we? But they will say, you said we didn't do these things, we didn't feed the sick, we didn't give drink to the thirsty. We didn't clothe the naked. We didn't visit the prisoners and the sick. Surely you're accusing the wrong person, Lord. And they'll rationalize their failure by saying, when did we fail to do this to you? In another passage in the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says something similar. He says, there will be many in that day who will say to me, and this is even more pointed, they will say, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name perform many wonderful works? And what does Jesus say? At that point he says, then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work lawlessness. He says, there will be many on that day who will basically argue with God as they stand before him with his glory revealed and say, but we called you Lord. We cast out demons. We worked miracles. We did all these things. And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity, or you who practice lawlessness. But in that light of Christ, who we are will be manifested. And so, this is why in Psalm 50, there's that line, against thee, the only of us sinned, and that which is evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou art judged. In other words, we subject God to judgment, and we often reject his judgment of ourselves, but in that day, you will be justified. And in the end, all arguments will fail. There will be no recourse. We will not be able to escape who we have become and what we've made of the life God's given us. We will see it in either it's all its glory or in all its abject, depravity. And we will not be able to escape that. On this Sunday, we are called to contemplate this last judgment, to strike a little healthy terror into our hearts, to be sure. But as the Synaxarian reading says for today, the Father's gave us this gospel to consider after the last 2 weeks when we've read about the Pharisee and the publican, how the publican, though a horrible sinner, went away justified after his humble prayer. And then last week, the prodigal son, how he who squandered all the wealth of his father and lived in depravity came back in humility and repentance and was received. And lest we should reduce the gospel and God's mercy and grace to something cheap, lest we think, I can live in sin, I can neglect my spiritual life, I can live how I want, and towards the end I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and everything will be fine. Lest we be light-minded toward these things or negligent. This last judgment is put before us to sober us, to put some healthy fear into us, to realize that this life is lived only once. Once the time is gone, it's gone, and it cannot be recovered. And what we do in this life has eternal consequences. And this day is coming when Christ will come. And his glory will not be veiled as it was in Bethlehem. It will be fully revealed, and it will be a frightening sight to many. As we stand before him to be judged according to our deeds, as the scripture says again and again, we'll judge each one according to his deeds that he's done in the flesh. We will realize the significance of this life. But then it'll be too late to do anything about it. We've misused it. And so as this is put before us, we have a chance to contemplate this and to prepare ourselves now. The great fast is before us in a week. Next Sunday, Forgiveness Sunday, we will liturgically begin the fast and at midnight begin to fast. Not for the sake of fasting, but for the sake of humbling ourselves before God, for the sake of strengthening our prayer, for the sake of crying out to God from our hearts, saying, God, look at me in my wretchedness. Look how I've wasted my life in laziness. Look how I've given myself again and again to sin. Look how I've misused the gifts you've given me. How I've neglected you. How I've been ungrateful and unthankful. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Raise me up out of this so that I may live a life pleasing to thee, so that I may live with a song of thanks and praise on my lips to thee, and not curses and not complaints and not idle conversation or impure words. And we understand that, as St. Paul writes in a place, he says, if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. As we contemplate the last judgment, when all flesh shall be judged, we realize that we have an opportunity now to judge ourselves, now to look at ourselves and to say, I have sinned, to take that to God in confession, to repent, to accuse ourselves rather than hiding behind our facades and all our justifications and all our excuses and saying, if nobody sees and nobody knows, I'll get by. But on this day it will all be revealed. And there will be no excuse. As the hymns for the Sunday talk about, there will be no one who can intercede for us. No mother, no father, no powerful friend. It will be just us naked, each of us naked before God with our whole lives revealed. And in the face of His glory and His great love for us, if we've misused it, we'll be ashamed. Ashamed of the opportunities He gave us that we squandered. Ashamed that we spent our time doing so much that was fruitless and even destructive to ourselves and to others. We'll have no excuse. But to avoid standing before Him in this fashion, we have the opportunity now to examine ourselves, to confess our sins, to accuse ourselves before God rather than to wait for us to be for our sins to accuse us, or wait for God to say these words to us. If we judge ourselves now and condemn our sins and acknowledge them, when we stand before Him, they will be gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far they will be removed from us. We will not have to answer for them. If we neglect that work, we may well hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you, ye who work iniquity. Christ's mercy is abundant, His forgiveness is easy to receive, but we have to want it, we have to desire it, and we have to make the effort to put ourselves before Him, to seek Him, to desire Him. He gives us so much in exchange for so little. We're so easily seduced by all the pleasant entertainments and the follies of this life. We neglect the one thing needful. So as we contemplate the last judgment today, may we be struck with the awareness that we will stand before the Lord with His glory revealed, that who we are will be made very clear, and there will be no excuse. May we use the time here we have to turn to Him with all our hearts, to offer ourselves to Him, to confess our sins and to turn from them, to humble ourselves before Him that we may receive His grace and be changed, learn to abide in His life, so that when He does come in glory, we may be set at His right hand. And even though we may not remember when we fed Him or gave Him drink or clothed Him or visited Him in this life, you will hear Him say, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. May we all hear those words. Christ our God, belong all glory, honor, and worship together the Father.